Welcome to Whitefields Church Podcast. Our focus is to help you grow relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. I hope you enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. God is good. All right, you may have a seat and children can be dismissed and the house lights can come on. Hallelujah. You know, some people are like, why do you have to dim the lights during the service? We want you to feel comfortable with your emotions. And then once we see that you're comfortable with your emotions, we're going to turn up the light. And in the future, we'll have cameras on your face. I'm kidding. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in invading people's, especially their, you know, special time when they're with the Lord. I think it's okay to let people worship. And some people say, like, why do you praise so loud? Lord knows my emotions. Lord knows that I love Him. God has given us emotions. God has given us everything, and He wants all of that to glorify the name. We're wondering sometimes, why do I have struggle with this issue? I'm okay over here, but I'm struggling over here. And sometimes when we reflect, I mean, when I started doing that in my own life, and the more I reflect, I realized, well, I haven't opened that door to the Lord. You know, we are good with this, but then we're like, when it comes to worship, we're stuffing up, and we're like, I don't want to do this. But when we think, and we, like I said, throughout this year, we've actually took probably, 4 to 5 months talking about worshiping warrior. And I'm talking about a lot of those things, the importance of worship, what it is, that's your sacrifice of praise. It's literally your lips offering praise to God. And it's such an important thing to do and practice that. Even when you first don't believe it or don't even believe what you're singing, look at the words. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God, amen? So that's why we must engage in the words of God. And when we are praising God, it's important. We're lifting up the name of the Lord, amen? We're lifting up because He's worthy of all praise. And so I don't want us to only worship or praise God in the week of Thanksgiving. And some people are debating, like, where do we have a Thanksgiving message when it lands on which week, you know, because Thanksgiving is on Thursday. I say, you know, our hearts, our thanksgiving should be, it's every day. It's a posture of our heart to give God praise in all that we do, amen? Because He alone is worthy. And so, obviously, Thanksgiving week, I'm going to focus on gratitude and worship, but that should be our lifestyle. I want to point out, there's a lot of people in church that are, even though, regardless how many people are traveling, and we have quite a few people traveling, but there's always other people are stepping up and serving. And so I'm very blessed. We have people that regularly clean the church. You know, I just want to point out some people, you know, Frank Denali, Terry Ann, you know, could we give them a round of applause for cleaning the church? Yeah, every week. I love it because the first thing, you know, these people do is sometimes they come across and they're like, what can we do? And they're like, can we clean the church? It's like the greatest thing you can hear as a leader of the church and just be like, wow, a person wants to serve by starting to clean. And I've done it for the longest time and I really enjoyed it. It's such a precious time to be with the Lord. But it's very special. So I just honor you guys. I want to give a round of applause to our worship team. Amen. Can we just... Hallelujah. Lonnie, Christina, Lacey, Johnny, Matt, Michael, you know, we just every week, you know, coming in early in the morning, you know, we, the sound technician, people are connected to that, you know. We have people stepping up right now, and it's such a pleasure, such a blessing. So, you know, sound and media, we got like Ross, Celia, Kate, Larissa, Izzy, you know, working. We have Isabella. That's Peter. How old is Isabella? How old is she? 11. And she's behind the computer switching slides, you know, and stuff like that. And she serves wholeheartedly. She's already went to, it's amazing. She's here worshiping and then she goes into Sunday school. And just, it's an amazing thing to see our young people step up, right? We have people every week, we have praying, intercessors, prayer team, all the people that show up on Wednesdays. And Rose was talking about that. We get to encounter the Lord. We pray and God can set you free. It doesn't matter. Any time is a good time to reach out to the Lord and He will deliver you. You have issues, you need deliverance. Please reach out. We'd be happy to help. This is what the church is for. Amen. We're here because in His name, we are able to lay hands on the sick because Jesus told us to. In his name, not in our name, in his name we lay hands on the sick. In his name we lay hands on the demonic and they shall be set free. So many people have been getting set free recently, just after the last couple of weeks that we've had. Also after Pastor Vlad was here, and not only that, just continuing on, because that's the work of church. It needs to happen naturally, amen? Because Jesus even said, things that I've did, you know, you will do an even greater things, amen? So always be connected to prayer. Intercessory team, we have Darlene, Nancy, Terry Ann, Celia, Nina, Anatoly. Thank you guys for praying and interceding. So Sunday school, you know, Tristan, Janet, Vera. A lot of times they sacrifice from, you know, instead of being here, they go and they go minister to children. And so I just honor that so much. So thank you, Sunday school. Can we just thank our Sunday school people and everybody else that's serving here? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is good. So today's message, I titled it Renewed Through Gratitude. And as I've mentioned already, holiday that's coming up, Thanksgiving, but it's not just a holiday or a season, I believe. It's the posture, continuous posture of a person who's marked by the Holy Spirit, who's a believer. Amen. And so for believers, I believe it's our lifestyle. It's the way to life. And in the world that is filled with so much distractions and challenges and things like that, it's easy to lose focus and always get into comparison trap of like what you don't have, rather what you have and things like that. But true lasting gratitude is not something we can come up on our own strength. I've tried it so many times. I'm like, I made a decision. I'm going to be grateful for everything. That's great to make a decision. But then next thing you know, you don't know what 2 days happens, two days later, and you have this conflict at work or whatever. And you're like, well, there goes my grateful heart. All of a sudden, you're like, it's kind of hard to be grateful right now. So it's not done in our own strength. And so today, that's why I want to share how living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit helps us cultivate the heart of gratitude, right? So spirit-led gratitude goes beyond our monetary things or momentary things, or just what we're experiencing. It transforms us and becomes a reflection of God's glory. Now, as you accept Jesus Christ, you're under influence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit now dwells in you. That's what the scripture says, right? And as you move, your Holy Spirit guides you. So no longer you're like, hey, this used to irritate me. And now you're like, Lord, what do I do? Holy Spirit. When we understand that we're moved under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, how we talk to people, how we talk to our children, how we raise our children, how we treat others, it changes. I like how Pastor Robert in the beginning said, you know, that you're seeing Jesus in other people's eyes, right? Because Jesus has paid the great price for them. And all of a sudden, you're not getting irritated next time somebody, you know, flips you off or gets angry, whatever. You actually start feeling sorry for them. You're like, wow, Lord, I wish they would know the truth. Yeah, I'm sorry for cutting them off, Lord. You know, by the way, all of us make those things, you know, where we, without realizing, cut somebody off or make an accidental mistake. We never know what other person has been going through. So it's so important to understand that situation, that as I'm moved by the Holy Spirit, how I think, what I speak, and how I act is guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Our foundation is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I love that it says, give thanks in some circumstances, for this is what? Good job, guys. We're going to keep testing you more. Give thanks in some circumstances? No. It says give thanks in all circumstances. That's the goal. Give thanks in all circumstances. I'm glad you do that, because in future, you know, somebody, a minister can be preaching like that and they'll say it and you'll be like, yeah, like that's why it's so important to read the scripture, amen, to understand that, because we have life from it. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. This is actually what God desires for us to attain, to have. If you're only giving the Lord thanks in some circumstances, like I had a great week, I'm going to go worship the Lord today or this week, right? And then you get the following week, you're like, Lord, where are you? It says in all circumstances, right? all things work together for good, those that love Jesus, right? Romans 8:28. God can absolutely turn any situation around, amen? And we have to just be able to understand and discern that every little situation is not a stumbling block. It's actually an ability for me to grow in deeper in relationship with God, amen? I want to point out just several, give you some points about gratitude and how Holy Spirit helps you maintain in the heart of gratitude, all right? First one, gratitude is rooted in the Holy Spirit. As I've mentioned, the moment you receive Jesus in your life, gratitude, thankfulness, just alone the fact that Jesus Christ has saved you, that alone itself should cause everything within you to praise His holy name. And that's when you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, right? We have, just simply because of that, we have gratitude. Our gratitude is rooted in the Holy Spirit, right? Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. There's another confirmation for you. As you're walking with the Holy Spirit, right, we know that you are a child of God, okay? And as God's children, the Spirit opens our eyes to the blessings that we often overlook. Like, wow, I didn't notice that. Sometimes we're just used to a lot of things, we get used to it. And then the moment we lose it, did you notice that? That's when only we're like, oh my, like, where, how did I not think about that? You know, I remember, it's a sad reality, but sometimes when I, you know, you go to funerals and you hear about some people expressing their gratitude, whether it's, you know, parents, a loved one, and say, how come I wasn't grateful for them enough? I didn't tell them how much I love them enough. Because we get used to it. We don't realize it. And so it's important that every day when we start our day, not just this week, we're not just waiting until January, we made a decision, go in New Year strong, do it now. Start your day, say, Lord, I am so thankful, first of all, that I woke up, and then be thankful for all that you have, right? You have a roof over your house, you know, you have food to eat. There's so many basic things that we take for granted. All it requires, like, for example, your car breaks down. Any of you had a car break down out of nowhere? Yeah? And all of a sudden you're like, wow, my car is a big deal. So let's not wait until we lose things, amen? So Holy Spirit helps us shift focus from what we don't have to what we do have and who we have. And the most important thing is who we have is Jesus Christ, right? Come on. How many believe that you are blessed simply by having salvation, the fact that Jesus is your Savior, amen? He is the Lord of my life. Let's think about Paul, right? And he wrote one of the best letters of thanksgiving. And we've read this so many times, but I love looking in the roots of things, of where it's been written from, where it's coming from. Like, for example, when we were going through Psalms of David, various ones on the Worshiping Warriors series, I loved connecting them to the stories that from where they came out of, right? So Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read you this, and it's a very popular one, chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. All these words are phenomenal. Pay attention to all of them. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, again, talks about unconditional, not circumstantial, right? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I want to point out, Apostle Paul didn't write these words to people who had reasons to celebrate. And I'll explain to you, because, in fact, the church he's addressing here, right, the church of the Philippi, they actually were under severe persecution. And you know, to top it all off, Paul writes this while he's in prison. This guy's in chain, and he is reading this. Now that you know that, let me read that again. This is Paul sitting in prison, writing to a church that's under persecution. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It seems like he's on a super up conference, just jamming out, right? He's in prison. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And then he's like, the Lord is near. Like, the Lord is right there. I love that. Do not be anxious about anything. He's like, he doesn't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your need to God. And again, he's focusing, bringing up requests at the end. You start everything with praise. This is why we worship in the beginning. We want our focus to be on him. Because a lot of times we're like, we just want to come like, oh, well, you don't know what I've been through. Guess what? The Lord already knows. But when you come with a grateful heart, especially if you're struggling with difficult situations, and you say, Lord, you are worthy of all praise. God, you alone are worthy. You may have went through some serious loss. You may have lost your job. But when you are praising God in the midst of your struggle, there's something profound that happens. It's almost like the Lord picks you up on his hand. And for other people on the display, the Lord is like, that's my child. Because guess what? Troubles, issues are still going to happen, whether you're walking with God or not. So, but when you are praising God in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your trials, this is where the name of the Lord is being glorified. It says where letters being read by other people. And people are like, you're crazy. How could you be worshiping God when you're in the middle of that? That is exactly the reason why believers need to have a heart of gratitude, a continuous one, not just around the month of November. Amen. It's something that is part of the DNA of a Christian, right? Gratitude, your worship, your praise to God. Amen. So Paul is in the middle of this situation and he's writing these profound words, some of the most powerful ones, right? He wanted to share this to so that people know how to navigate through difficult situations in their lives, okay? Because part of me was like, Lord, how could you say, somebody says, how could you, several people asked recently, like when you go into a difficult situation or somebody, whether there's somebody just about to go through a divorce or somebody just went through a loss. And so how do you go in with an encouragement in there? You're like, how can you say nice things to somebody that's going through that? Right? Think about it. Well, Paul himself knew a thing or two about trials, difficulties. He knew quite a bit. He's been beaten several times, thrown into prison, and yet he's going and he's preaching the gospel. He's not intimidated by the external factors. Because something profound happens. Because when you come, we put the weight on ourselves. Like if any of your friends going to go through a loss or maybe a month from now or difficult or maybe in your own family, and you put this weight on yourself, I want you to be set free from that today. Because let me tell you this, because when you're walking with God, you're your carrier of the kingdom of God. It's not your words. You don't be questioning. Sometimes you're just there and you hear them out and it means so much. I mean, how many of you went through a difficult situation and from the moment you just shared something with somebody, somebody just hears you out, not tells you what to do, you already feel so much better. We as Christians need to practice that a lot of times to hear people. That's why scripture tells us to be quick to hear, slow to anger. Amen? Something about hearing people out. So profound. It's one of the greatest ministry. This should be called curing ministry. I like that. Where you simply have people designated to go to people's house and hear them out. We should create that. I like that. Thank you, Lord, for that. But looking at Paul, right, his gratitude wasn't tied to his circumstances, but to the spirit that is at work through him, that he numerous times he points out, it doesn't matter how I feel. He says, it's about the spirit of God that is at work in me. You know, and he's like saying, I didn't think I'd achieved it yet. I'm still pursuing that. So don't get discouraged if you still are snappy once in a while or you still, you know, especially if you go on fasting and you're, you know, angry. That's what happens. It's a normal thing. Don't be frustrated with yourself saying, like, I'm not set free. Pastor Vlad mentioned really nice on a Saturday service that we had November 9th. He was saying, there's things that the Lord sets you free, but strongholds need to be broken over time. It's a continuous practice of replacement. You need to say, hey, you've done this before. Now you're recognizing. And now you're replacing that with something else. So don't get discouraged. Keep pressing in. Keep working through every situation. Amen? Because Satan wants to snap your progress. Every time he wants to discourage you. You've came this far. And he says, that song I'm thinking about, whatever. In the end, it doesn't even matter. Like, that's what devil does. Like, no, really. He will try to stop your progress because he just wants you to focus on that fall right there and say you're a failure. Devil's really good at that. And I've numerous times pointed this out before. Think of Lot's wife, okay? They were walking out. And she just couldn't disconnect herself from the past, you know, where they're leaving. And the Lord is like destroying the city. He's like, do not turn around, right? And that's what happens. A lot of times, the devil wants us just to turn around, and that's what happens. It's a representation of how we get stagnant, how we get stuck, and thinking, this is it. Because we turn around, we have to know that, hey, because Jesus said, the Lord said, like, hey, if I've forgiven you, the Lord does not remember no more. You have to understand that if you have repented prior to that, build off of the fact that you just fell right there, okay? I'm giving a practical advice. Somebody's like, well, how do, because that's based off the scripture, because prior to that, you repented, so you've fallen. You're a believer that have fallen. You're not the fallen. You're not in that state, okay? You have simply fallen and say, Lord, you're my strength. A righteous will fall down many times, right? And he will get up. I mean, that's a practice of life as a believer. I don't have it figured out together. In fact, this week, I just had a bad attitude just through the last several days, just a lot of things. But I'm like recognizing because there's some work in me. And I can look back and say, oh, this sucks. I'm just going to quit. I don't want to do anything anymore. Like, you know, it's very easy to get frustrated. And that's what enemy is good at. He just wants to capture you in your fall. But when you love the Lord and say, Lord, I have fallen. But that's why I put my trust in you. I come to you and I repent. Amen? So I think it's just the Lord wanted to release that over somebody's heart. We're talking about a grateful heart, okay? A continuous heart before the Lord. Amen? So Paul tells us that is, it is not only through the strength of Christ that he can be content in any situation, right? It's only through Christ. Amen? So we can try on our own strength. And I've said it, numerous times I tried in our efforts, but I failed. But he's saying that it's a secret, right? Because he said, I have learned a secret, right? Give thanks in all circumstances, right? He's addressing Thessalonian church here, and he's facing persecution in the middle of that. Now, some people will interpret that. Says God really wants you to give thanks, so you better get your act together. And that's, I always felt like this, like unworthiness, that I'm like, I have to come to a certain level to give gratitude to God. Now, scriptures, it says, raise up your hands, holy hands, right, pure hands. But my point is, when you come, you have to repent. But if we're remaining in that state of condemnation, I'm not worthy to lift up my hands or anything like that, we're gonna stay there. You're not worthy, but the Holy Spirit guides us. That's the reason he guides us into righteousness. And Jesus says, because of my blood, you're made righteous. And now you can boldly enter into the throne of God. Amen? So receive that. We cannot be thankful in every circumstances on our own willpower. I want to point that out again. It is only when the Holy Spirit empowers us, when we put our trust in him, he gives us the ability to walk through every season. Second thing I want to point out, Holy Spirit reminds us of God's faithfulness. Holy Spirit often brings things to remembrance, goodness and faithfulness of God. We've talked about, I will sing of the goodness of God. John chapter 14 verse 26 says, but the helper, so this is what we're talking about, Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, says, he will teach you all things, right? And bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. So Holy Spirit is the one that reminds you. He's like, hey, you're forgiven. And I need you to come up out of this condemnation, self-beating thing that is not doing you any good. It's not. Because you're just getting stuck there and the devil doesn't want you to progress, you know? So, but the Holy Spirit says, reminds you, right? And brings you to remembrance of all the things that he has done for you. And I noticed the more I praise God, the more I worship God, the less I stumble and the less I fall. Out of my worship, having a gratitude, heart of gratitude. And I'm telling you, there's something shifted in my life that when I started worshiping God more, I'm continuously like praising God. God, you're good. Even in the middle of something, difficult situation, I look at it and I'm like, God, you're faithful. Because Holy Spirit guides us as he brings things to remembrance. And with that confidence, you're focused on his goodness and not on your failures. Because it's not about us. Ultimately, what the devil is actually capturing, he wants to make it about you. He's like, it's always you. You poor thing. You're struggling. You keep failing. And devil's just tricking so many Christians because they're rather than focusing on goodness of God, His power and His might, we're focusing, me. It's always me, right? Spirit-led believers continually reflect on God's promises and past provisions, right? This reflection of God's faithfulness, it stirs thanksgiving. One of the things that I started practicing lately a lot has been reminding myself of when I first got saved. Remember I talked in Revelation 6, remember your first love? Remember first where you have fallen, right? The first love, when you first received Jesus. And the more we remind ourselves of that goodness of God when He came and how He picked me up in the middle of that, it brings so much glory to God. It brings my focus away from my failures or everything. It brings focus to God. All the glory belongs to the Lord, okay? So as we walk by the Spirit of the Lord, it gives us the ability to look, even in the middle of right now, like you don't get it, what's happening. You're like, but God has been faithful. So the times you can turn around and reflect this is on goodness of God, His faithfulness. That's the foundation that your life is being built on, right? So I'll bring you an example. Israelites, they're a good example of that, but they're also a good example to us because we kind of do a lot of those things ourselves. They forgot the fact that God delivered them, and they continually just wanted to complain like, well, at least we did this. Like, we had, you know, fish, we had some fresh veggies, never mind that we got whooped for it. But they were just like, the devil's always like, yeah, you had that, you had that. They were reflecting on all the things that were holding them down. But the fact that God has pulled them out of that slavery, their next generation to be able to live freedom, never mind that fact, right? The focus. You understand that? You can focus on the goodness of God or you can focus on the things that are holding you bound. So, watch this. And that's why Moses gives them this nice lecture after they got out in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 and 12. That whole chapter is amazing. If you want to read it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, check it out. But I'm just going to go verse 10 and 12. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. I praise God for the United States of America every day, especially coming from a communistic country. Man, you get to understand and don't take things for granted. Freedom, right? Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you are built fine houses and settle down, and it continues talking about the fact that you did all this, it takes your focus. Takes your focus because all of a sudden you're like, I'm good, right? You get the comfortable position, and all of a sudden you're saying you're good. But sometimes it can be easy to forget what God has done for you. We forget when we either settle down in comfort or when things get challenging. Both things, think about it, right? Comfort and challenge are opposites, but they're both detrimental to a Christian. Comfort, you get comfortable, you're like, I'm good, we're good. And then the challenge, also, as soon as the things like you just get distracted and you're looking at the thing that's in front of you rather than what God has done for you over the years and years, amen? So they're opposites, but we got to be careful because they become barriers to a lifestyle of gratitude, all right? Just note those things down in your spirit. That's why it's important to train up yourself in gratitude. Any habits, any things that they're good to train up, you have to practice those things, amen? You go, you want to get better and healthy, you start practicing those things. You try to stop practicing bad habits and start practicing good habits, amen? You want to go to the gym, you start committing to it. You have to train up yourself, right? I said train, and for some people, like as Christians, I need to train things, like train up for it? Yes. Gratitude is not naturally given to us. If you disagree with that, it's only because you haven't had kids yet. Seriously. Kids don't usually say, why thank you, Father, for a flowing water, for the electricity, natural gas. Father, especially in this month in Alaska where it's very cold, your natural gas bill is so high. So I just want to say thank you, right? That's true. It gets really expensive. You live in Alaska. Come on, somebody. Kids don't usually say that, right? You got to train them. Say, hey, that's why we say, hey, thank you. You got to establish those things. You got to train up. That's why last week we talked about train up your child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you're training those processes. Amen? But as God's children, we are to continually reflect on God's promises and past provisions. Amen? So in this reflection, it stirs up like the gratitude. Like the moment you reflect, and you're like, wow, this is great. Notice that even in your own personal relationship, let's say with your spouse, when you reflect on when you first fall in love, it's like, wow, this is great. I'm married to an amazing wife. Like all of a sudden, because seeking you shall find. You want to find issues with your spouse? You will. Seeking you shall find. You want to see good things? You will find, right? So focus on those things of what you have before you. You know, it stirs up gratitude of praise. Psalm 103:2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, because there's benefits in trusting God. God carries you through every season. Amen. Yeah. Number three, Holy Spirit produces joy and peace, leading to thanksgiving. All right. Galatians, I love the book of Galatians, it's great. But in chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, it lists joy and peace as, you know, fruit of the Spirit. And when joy and peace fill our hearts, thanksgiving actually flows naturally as you establish, as you train yourself up, right? And all of a sudden, you notice that things just naturally flow, the gratitude, right? Spirit-led believers are not going to be shaken by trials and things like that because they rest in God's peace, right? Because he's the Prince of Peace, right? They can even worship God through difficult times and because of God's sovereignty. We just know that, God, you are good. You are worthy to be praised. Amen? When an early church faced persecution, as I mentioned already, actually, in the beginning of Book of Acts and those churches that were being established all across that area, they were facing severe persecution. Look at this. Acts 5:41. The apostle left the Sanhedrin. What were they doing? Rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. How profound is that? That means, as you live your life under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the gratitude flows through you and it doesn't matter what happens. You're just like, Lord, you are worthy. I know, even if all these things fail, Lord, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Lord, you have given me eternal life, right? This thanksgiving arose from the joy given by the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sister, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Yeah. Huh. We're supposed to rejoice? Yes. And this passage came to me this week. Lord reflected on me. I'm like, ah. Lord, because you love me, that's why I've been dealing with some difficult people. Because consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Ooh, I like that. You're getting spiritual cardio right there. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Oftentimes we're pretty quick to point something and say, that's the devil. And the Lord's like, no, actually, that's me. I just want to train you up through that person that you're trying to fight because I want to develop that perseverance. I want you to become that refined Christian. I want you to be refined in that, to be that pure gold, right? Amen? So I started praising now and I'm like, ooh. Like a little, I kid you not, like, I'm like, ooh, that person is okay. This is good, Lord. Thank you. Like, I think the Lord just elevated me into the next class. It's going to get more difficult, Vic. I'm like, okay, Lord, I receive it, right? So, but when your Holy Spirit is your guide, you can face anything and still have peace and joy, right? Your fruit becomes more refined through this trial. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, people are tossing. And it's like, you're like, you can toss them like, you know, ping pong balls off the wall, like, your lies bounce off me like ping pong balls. There you go. You can tell the enemy on that, right? Fourth thing, gratitude transforms our relationship through the Holy Spirit, okay? It Our relationships are impacted directly of how much time we spend with the Holy Spirit and how grateful we become because of our time in the ministry with the Holy Spirit. Because look at this. Ephesians chapter 5 has a stern warning. Chapter 5 verse 18 to 20 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another." And it talks about psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father." Again, gratitude is directly connected with that, right? Holy Spirit helps you to have a grateful heart and impacts your relationships. "The Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So a grateful heart does not envy, complain, or hold grudges. It's quick to forgive. You become like almost like a child, like, "Okay, Lord, whatever, that happened, I still love them." Amen? So being filled with the Spirit not only makes you grateful, but it also gives you the ability to encourage others. Last point I want to point out, the Holy Spirit led thanksgiving, or your grateful heart, becomes a testimony. As I mentioned in the beginning, the more you spend time with the Lord, the grateful you are with everything that you do, and it influences how you walk and how you talk with everybody, right? How you think, what you say, and what you do, okay? It points others to Christ. There's several scriptures talking about we're the salt to the earth, amen? Outside of also being letters that are being read by people, it's like enough to look at your face and they're like, "Wow, you're not like other people." It's like, yeah, the Holy Spirit shining, amen? And so when we express gratitude in all circumstances, the world notices. Like I said, people are like, "What are you, nuts?" Well, the reality is we're in an upside-down kingdom. Last will be first, first shall be last. Somebody slaps you across the face, you're like, "Go ahead and hit this one too." You know, that's what the reality is. Like, people are like, "What?" It's opposite, right? And that's how we get to preach the gospel, by our actions, okay? You're actually walking out what you preach, amen? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Again, I want to remind us, "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding." It's amazing, because which one of the translations says doesn't make sense. It says a peace that doesn't make sense. You have a situation that doesn't make sense? Well, God has peace that doesn't make sense. That's how you can sleep on the back of the boat. And the disciples are like, "Jesus, don't care if we die." He's like, "What?" He must know something. He must knew something about that peace that only God can give. Like the disciples did, because they were like, "We don't get it, Lord." But they understood. Because later, you know, after John was, is it James? Michael, help me out here. Who was in the prison the day before John just got head chopped off in the book of Acts. What? Peter. Yeah. So Peter said, and John, the one of the, just already had his head cut off in the book of Acts. And it says the day before to see Herod, he was sleeping between two soldiers. So he picked it up pretty quick. What gave him the ability to sleep in the middle of that? Like, how could you sleep when you know most like, "Hey, my brother just got killed." And here he is just dozing off in the middle, just like, trust in God, right? That faith. Because peace, that says, that transcends all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense. So if you are not walking, you don't have that peace that continuously is flowing in your life, I want to pray over you today. I want you to receive that, because I'm telling you, peace that God gives, it surpasses all understanding, any situation, and you're able to walk full of gratitude, knowing like, God's got me. I'm His child, right? The righteous is bold as a lion. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not afraid. Amen? So God is good. I want to just finish this off with application. Just a few things. If you want to write down how to establish. I like to do a how-tos, because a lot of times we're like, what a great message. And then there's like no points of how-to. And that's the way I learned growing up, is when somebody gives me pointers. If you don't walk out away from anything today, at least write these 4 points. First one. Pause and reflect. I touched on that. It's always good to reflect on the goodness of God, right? Take time daily to recognize the blessings that you have. Amen? And ask the Holy Spirit to help you reveal those things. Perhaps that you're like, "Hey, Lord, Holy Spirit, like, tell me, what am I not thankful for? Whatever. Just speak to him. Holy Spirit is a person. You can communicate with him. Amen? Number two, practice thanksgiving in prayer. Because a lot of times, as Christians, we only pray when we have a need. It's sad. And we only run and we expect our prayer, like, you know, like Amazon Prime, like next day, Lord. Like, I'm just checking in, Lord. And the Lord's like, I'd love to communicate with you. I actually want to bring you a reflection on that situation that you're in, that you're praying it out, but I want to pray it in and make that work for your good, for your benefit, right? So practice worshiping God. And when you, that's why when we are, when we do Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's focusing on praise, you know? And then later on it says, and give us this, thanksgiving, right? It says, with gratitude, right? Present your needs before the Lord. So it starts with worship, starts with praise. Amen? Third, share your gratitude. Speak words of thanksgiving to God, but to others. Testify of his goodness. You know, all it takes is just say, God has been so good to me. I look at some people and they're like, they're going through so much and they're lacking so many things. They're like, God is so good. As a Christian, you know how many times I was like convicted by the Holy Spirit? I'm like, that person is going through hell and they're worshiping God. I have like a couple of needs, and I look, a lot of times all it takes is to look at somebody else's need to understand that your need is no need at all. In fact, it's actually a stepping stone. So it's so important to share your gratitude, because when you talk about the goodness of God, it ministers. And it's amazing, because it was one of the gentlemen from a couple of years ago, it was somebody from Adult Teen Challenge, I forgot his name, but he shared that and he's just worshiping God. And I'm like, he doesn't have anything pretty much right now, and he's worshiping God and for his goodness, right? But that preached so much to me. That's why I'm pointing it out. It says, share your gratitude. You never know how that impacts somebody else. And lastly, cultivate a spirit-filled life, okay? Because ultimately, when you're walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, when you're continuously fellowshipping with him and you're speaking to him, he will teach you of all things. He will guide you through step, you know, step by step. And so through worship, through word and through prayer, you know, those things that are very essential to believers, not just on the Sunday, you're waiting for something to receive, and then all week, and you're just like, by the time it's Friday, you're like, oh, that's what we have access to, the word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit that we can pick up, okay, and walk. We have armor of God, right? We have shield of faith. We have a helmet of salvation. We have gospel of peace in our shoes, right? Things like that, they're so important. Belt of truth. Christians have access to all those things. We just don't know how to access them by simply not knowing. It says, a lack of knowledge, people suffer. That's why the more you open the Word of God, the more you pray, the more you understand how Holy Spirit operates, and the more you recognize His voice, because you're spending time with Him and in His Word. And those same words that spoke things into existence, the words of God, amen? And you, when you speak those words, all of a sudden you understand, this ain't no scripture, this is just some kind of a passage. These are the words of the living God. And so when I say, you know what, it gives you boldness to finally understand, pick up that sword and be like, this is the word of God. Word of God says this, who is Christ is a new creation, right? And you pick up and you start walking with that confidence of God. Amen? So it's so important to cultivate a spirit-filled life, to pray daily, to read daily, and spend time. You know, if you're a lot of your time for entertainment, just question yourself. Start it now in November, right now. And be like, how much of it is Netflix? How much of it is this? And say, Lord, how much of it is worship? Just having worship, songs of worship playing in your background, right? One of the things that I established early on in my family, as soon as they especially had kids, I wanted them to go to bed with worship. So we usually try, not always works, but I would say 90% of the time, we always finish our evening before we go upstairs to get our kids to bed as we turn on worship and we praise God together. It's such a beautiful thing because children pick those things up. That's what we talked about, training your child in the way he should go. When they'll grow up, they want to do that. All of a sudden, they are singing songs. All of a sudden, they're like preaching the gospel to other kids at school. It's an amazing thing. And so I'm just challenging us, all of us, to cultivate a spirit-filled life. That's your most important thing. Amen? And I believe just as we walk in this season, not just season of gratitude and thanksgiving because of this, because the society encourages us to, Scripture tells us about it all the time. Worshiping God through every situation. We see that countless times, time and time again. People that put their trust in God, that were not moved by their feelings or what was in front of them. You know, think of David, think of Joseph. It's like so many years pass and God is faithful, and they went and decided not to turn away from God. Job, everything is taken. Children, everything's gone. Says, yet I will, you know. To God be, he gives, he takes away. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. That's the kind of attitude we need to have as Christians. Not just now, but always. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Can we, as just a sign of surrender, just palms up to the Lord, you know, posture of your heart, and just sincerely just bring that up before the Lord, and just let the Lord reflect all the things that you have in your life right now and all the things where God wants you to lead you by simply walking in that state of gratitude continuously. So Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness, for the goodness of God. Lord, that we've seen it time and time again, Lord, you were faithful. And a lot of times in the middle of situation, maybe somebody's walking right now, Lord, in a difficult trial and they don't understand, Lord. They might be questioning, where are you at, Lord? But God is there. And maybe it's just in the process of training that you want us to go through. So Holy Spirit, I just pray where every person in this place, Holy Spirit, I pray that you rest on every heart. And that, Lord, as we walk out of here, when we go home, that we continue to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Lord, as you guide us, as you point to things that need to go out of our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray if there's any heart right here that is, Lord, not walking with you or living in sin, Lord, I pray you would touch their hearts right now, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that the freedom would come into their life in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray over every person that is not sure, Lord, if they are just walking and living life of gratitude or not. So Lord, I pray right now you would touch that heart right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor, for you alone are worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, whitefieldsalaska.com. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you today.